Good to be able
to remember today. This is a special day for many people, and it's a hard day for many people, and we recognize that and remember that. And across our sites today, different people are remembering those who fell in time of war. And we're doing that here in this building. Our junior church are doing it in the creche. We have not 2 minutes of silence, but 10 seconds of silence, or that is the aim. I don't know how that went. It will be interesting to find out afterwards. But we want to remember. And we want to remember together. We want to pray, we want to grieve, we want to support. And people in all times of conflict. Earlier on this week, I was involved in a service at Victoria Court, where I think many of you know we have a number of people who are there. Keith Galliford is one of them. He came to the service with his medal, and it's not a Second World War medal, but it's to do with Cyprus, a later conflict. And he shared a little bit about that and his involvement in that. We remember, we pray, and we grieve. And what I want to do is just think about these things together, but relate them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some big themes here, aren't there? Theme of peace, theme of sacrifice, theme of reconciliation. And we remember and we grieve and we pray and we look beyond what has happened in our immediate history to these great gospel principles and how they are worked out in the life of our wonderful Lord Jesus. So that's what we're doing today from these wonderful verses in Philippians chapter 4. And we're thinking first of all about peace. If we can go on to the next slide, Kerry. This is from a museum in Caen in Normandy, Le Memorial, and it's outside, and obviously you can see there's the revolver and it's twisted over to emphasize peace. No more war, no more fighting, no more bullets, peace. It's a very moving and powerful museum. There aren't many artifacts, but it tells the story of conflict in a way that the horrors of war are not hidden. If we're in a time of conflict, if we are in a battle, if we know what that is like physically, then we long for peace. When we think about peace, it is a wonderful biblical theme in so many ways. We can enjoy peace with God by coming to the Lord Jesus and putting our faith in him. We can have peace with one another because we have come into God's family. And we can have the peace of God even within us. Again, if we move along to the next slide, these famous and powerful verses, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, that are really special to me, and I suspect are special to many of you. And that extraordinary peace that we can know. The phrase in these verses, the peace of God, actually appears nowhere else in Scripture. The peace of Christ appears, but not the peace of God. But it's an amazing and a powerful thing that God's peace, Irene in Greek, shalom in Hebrew, can be known by us. And even the peace that God has in himself. That's so powerful. That's so wonderful. And just following through this verse, we are to come to God in prayer to know that peace. Thanksgiving is really important. We so often miss that out when we're going through it, when we're anxious. We have things, all of us, that we can give thanks to God for. And we can bring everything to God in prayer. You see that in this verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Nothing is missed out. Nothing is off the agenda. Nothing there is that we can't bring to God in prayer. And if we do that, if we lift it to Him, then we can know even the peace of God in our hearts. The word there that transcends all understanding, it could be translated surpasses all understanding, which is the English Standard Version. It's a hard word to translate, and we might say overpasses. It's the peace of God that permeates everything in our lives. And very, very simply, I just want to encourage you to pray, to bring everything to God in prayer. We need to grow in the life of prayer, and we need to have our prayers in a firm biblical harness. Sometimes if we look at the prayers of the great men and women of God in the scriptures, our prayers don't add up. And I want to encourage you to study and to reflect and to have a prayer life that is shaped by the scriptures. However, when push comes to shove, just pray. Pray about anything. Pray about everything. Bring it to God in prayer. And this is the pathway to know the peace of God in our lives. I think I've said this here before. Some of you may know this. These verses are extraordinarily significant to me in my Christian journey over many years. I know them off by heart. I know them back to front. It doesn't mean that I've always put them into practice, but I do know them. And just praying through in respect of this message, for God, is there anything new that you want me to bring? Is there anything fresh that you want me to bring? What I heard from God is just encourage people to pray. That's the first thing. But secondly, that sense of corporate prayer. So often we miss this. The book of Philippians is written to the Philippians. That's a surprise. It's written to a church. It's not written to a collection of individuals, still less to one particular individual. And we do receive this personally, and yet we recognize that Paul is talking to a group of God's people. He is talking to a church. And so we can pray for one another. Yes, we can pray for the people that we know. If they are anxious, if they are struggling, we can ask for prayer from others. It's not just individual, it's corporate. We can have the next slide that's coming up. I'm just going to say briefly, again, some of you have heard this before, about the time when I was bereaved and just struggling to pray. I've written about it, I've blogged about it. The blog is up on the screen, 72 Network, and just to my consternation, because prayer has always been so important to me, I just found that I couldn't pray. I couldn't find the words, and added to grief and depression, there is this crushing sense of not being able to pray. I've written in the blog about this and how there was a particular way of praying from a tradition that wasn't my own that essentially saved me. But the other thing is that other people praying saved me. And just to know, well, I'm struggling to articulate the words here, but I know other people are praying. And the anxious thoughts that I have, I know other people are praying about them. And there is something corporate about this. There is something here about bearing one another's burdens in prayer. And if you're struggling, if you're anxious, yes, bring it to God in prayer, but also ask for prayer for for others. One of the things that we're trying to get into the DNA of these services is coming and asking for prayer at the end. Cheryl's available for that. She's available for today. And we want to get this more into the texture of our life. So don't be afraid to come and to ask for prayer. But also, I want to encourage you to pray for others. Yeah, bring your own anxieties, bring your own burdens, bring your own cares to God in prayer. But pray for others. And this is the pathway to peace for you and for others who are here in the body of Christ. So that's the first thing, the peace of God. Second thing is the encouragement in terms of the theme of sacrifice. It's something that is so front and center in our thinking today. And we are encouraged, as this reading comes to a close, to think about what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure. And we recognize, as we put that in the context of the whole letter, that Paul is encouraging us to think about the gospel, the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We think about sacrifice today. There's a Spitfire on the screen, and the words of Winston Churchill, the British Prime Minister, in the context of the Battle of Britain: never has so much been owed by so many to so few. And just going on to think about the sacrifice of Christ, which is the next slide, we might put it like this. Never has so much been owed by so many to the one, the God-man, Son of God, Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who gave his life on the cross for all who will believe. We reflect today on the sacrifice of many, the sacrifice of the few, and the sacrifice of the one, even our Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for us. This gospel message is what we are about as a church. Jesus giving his life for us, that we might know forgiveness, that we might know freedom, that we might know new purpose, new life, that we might have life now and life in the age to come. It's the wonderful, wonderful gospel message that is front and center, that is heart and soul for each one of us. And we're going to celebrate that especially in 2 Sundays' time. Paul Johnson, who is here today, is going to be baptized as a believer. He's journeyed with us for a number of years now, and it's so exciting that he has come to this point. And I want to encourage you, if you feel that God might be speaking to you about this, whether it's salvation in Jesus, just finding out more about this, whether it's expressing that in baptism, come and see me. Come and see anybody that you've seen pop up here at the front, and they will share with you the next steps that you can take. But also, on that service, on the 28th of November, invite friends and neighbours and colleagues to engage with us, because it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. But also to reflect deeply on the sacrifice of Jesus ourselves. This thing that is so true, that is so right, that is so pure, that is so noble, that is so excellent and praiseworthy. As we reflect on the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we are drawn into the gospel story. We are drawn out in love to him, and we go deeper that we might just be more and more the people that God wants us to be. Carl Martin, who was on the staff here, who was senior leader here, has written a book called Lead, and I've gone to it on a number of occasions recently. And he speaks about John 15 and abiding in Jesus. And he just says there is absolutely no substitute for this. Abide, abide, abide. And I'm just so struck by that once again. Let's reflect. Let's go deeper. Let's abide in Jesus. Let's remain in him. How do we do this? Again, it's so simple and straightforward. It's prayer and it's worshiping together and it's Bible and it's sharing in twos and threes and small groups. Take those opportunities, press into those things, and abide in Jesus more and more. And so peace, and then sacrifice, and then finally reconciliation. You have in the opening verses of this reading Euodia and Syntyche, and they've clearly fallen out big time. The fact that he mentions it and it's going to be read out to the whole church, you can imagine that this dispute has gone through a number of phrases to get to this point. I think we miss this. Again, we think, you know, this is personal, and he's taken Euodia and he's taken Syntyche onto one side and he's saying, look, you need to get this sorted out. But no, they've gone through that phase and they've gone through that phase and they've gone through that phase. And now he says, literally, I beg you, Euodia, and I beg Syntyche to agree with one another in the Lord. And there is that deep desire for reconciliation within the body of Christ. Again, reconciliation is a big theme for today. One of my favorite First World War stories, football, even on the Western Front. You probably know this. Christmas Day, 1914, there was a temporary truce. And it does seem, I think this story has probably been inflated a little bit, which is a bit of a shame, but it does seem that in one or two parts of the Western Front, they found something that dovetailed as a football, and the German troops and the British troops played a game of football together. I won't say what the result was, won't say if it ended in penalties or anything like that. But there is something just deeply moving about this, a reconciliation, person to person. But of course, on this occasion, it was only temporary. The truce ended, the shelling restarted, and people who had been shaking one another's hands, who had been exchanging gifts, photographs, and so on, were then looking to kill one another once again. The reconciliation that God brings is something deeper and more lasting, and we are to work that out in the church and in the wider world. The final slide, or actually the final two slides, here is the encouragement to reconciliation. And then the last one, working for gospel reconciliation. I want to encourage you from this text to be people of peace, people who seek to bring about reconciliation. So you have that opportunity so often on your front line, wherever that may be, to illustrate the gospel by working for reconciliation in your place of work, in your family maybe, in your wider community. Are there opportunities for you where you can just simply bring people together and be a peacemaker? Clement, who is mentioned in these verses, is told to be involved in this. And there is the loyal yoke fellow, Syzygius. Again, it's hard work for these people, but they are called to be involved in reconciliation. And on your front line, be a person of peace. Be a person who brings people together as an illustration of the deeper gospel reconciliation that we enjoy. Work for reconciliation between churches. Been involved in a number of meetings recently where church leaders have come together and there's been no competition, there's been a sense of partnership, of wanting to repair perhaps old divisions and old hurts and work for the kingdom together. Here in Headingley, we're working closely with Vineyard on our Beacon project, getting to know Cheryl and I, getting to know David and Alison Flowers really, really well. When you talk about your marriage to people, you can't afford not to be honest. Sorry, I don't know why I'm saying this. I sometimes just sort of riff away from my notes, and I'm doing that now. And I sense that I probably need to stop before I say anything else. We have a wonderful marriage, and it's so brilliant to have celebrated 1 year together. David and Alison have been so wonderful with us, married us just over a year ago, and I got to know them so well, and they've been so supportive, and I hope that we are supportive of them. And we're able to grow together more as churches and think about things that we can do in partnership. I guess I'm encouraging myself, I'm encouraging you. Let's work for that real gospel partnership across churches because we are stronger together. And then within the church, what is the culture of this church? What is the culture of our gathering here in Headingley? We serve a God who has reconciled us to himself, who has brought us back into right relationship with him. We long, we desire, we work for more to know the gospel peace that comes through the gospel sacrifice and be reconciled to God. But we need to demonstrate that within our gathering, deep relationships, strong relationships, relationships maybe that previously were strained that are now stronger. Yes, it's a battle. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, we need to work hard at this. But we have a God who has done everything for us and wants us to press in, not only to our relationship with him, but to our relationships with one another. And so three words for today. The wonderful peace that God brings, the wonderful sacrifice that Jesus has made, and the wonderful reconciliation that he has won for us. These are all things that we can remember. These are all things that we can rejoice in, and these are all things that we can press into in the days and the weeks that lie ahead. Let's pause together. And I'm going to lead us in prayer. But let's just pause for a moment before we sing our final song. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the peace that he has won. Thank you that the armistice has been signed on Good Friday. And that it was signed in the blood of Christ that fell from the cross. Through prayer, we pray that we would know even the peace of God, the peace that is part of the very character of God in our lives. And as we've talked about prayer, we don't want to neglect to pray for one another now. And so, Lord, if there is anyone who is anxious, there is anyone who is perhaps consumed by worry because of work or home or illness or fear, Lord, whatever it is, we lift them to you in prayer now and pray that your peace that overpasses all understanding would guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, even now, come Holy Spirit, come God of peace, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Never has so much been owed by so many to the one. Help us to rejoice in all that you've done, even now, O Lord, and to perhaps put our faith in you for the first time, perhaps recommit, perhaps move forward in baptism. And Lord, as the scriptures say, give us the ministry of reconciliation. Help us to be like this loyal yoke fellow, Syzygius. Help us to be like Clement. And may we bring people together, wherever that may be. Help us in the days that lie ahead to be gospel men and women. Wherever you send us, wherever you can take us. Use us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final song. I want to encourage you on a number of fronts. First of all, if you are a parent, just in a few minutes, if you will slide off and collect children either from junior church or creche, that really helps our leaders. I encourage you to come forward for prayer if you would like to do that. And just encourage you as we sing together this final song. Guide.